పదే నూతన యస్య వీక్ష్ణం మైత్రేయ ఉవాచ సత్సేవనీయో బత పూర్వంశో యల్లోకపాలో భగవత్ ప్రధానః అభూవిథేహాజిత కీర్తిమాలా పదే పదే నూతన యస్య భీక్ష్ణం. యల్లోకపాలో భగవత్ ప్రధాన ప్రభువితేహాజిత కీర్తిమాలా పదే పదే నూతన యస్య భిక్ష్ణం మైత్రేయ ఉవాచ సత్సేవనీయో బత భూరివంశో భూవితేహాజిత కీర్తిమాలా పదే పదే నూతన యస్య భిక్ష్ణం మంత్రేయ ఉవాచ.
ఆచిల్ ప్రపాద్ కి ద గ్రేట్ సేజ్ మైత్రేయ ముని సెట్ విదుర ద రాయల్ డైనాసిటీ ఆఫ్ కింగ్ పూరు ఇస్ వర్ది టు సర్వ్ ద ప్యూర్ డివోటీస్ బికాస్ ఆల్ ద డిసెండెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ దట్ ఫ్యామిలీ ఆర్ డివోటెడ్ టు ద పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్. సో ఈస్ టెలింగ్ అబౌట్ ద పూరు డైనాసిటీ హౌ దే ఆర్ వర్ది టు సర్వ్ ప్యూర్ డివోటీస్ బికాస్ ఆల్ ఆర్ డివోటీస్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్. యు ఆర్ ఆల్సో బోర్న్ ఇన్ దట్ ఫ్యామిలీ అండ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ వండర్ఫుల్ that because of your attempt, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are becoming newer and newer at every moment. The great sage Maitreya thanked Vidura and praised him by reference to his family glories. The Puru dynasty was full of devotees of the personality of Godhead and was therefore glorious because they were not attached to impersonal Brahman or to the localized Paramatma, but were directly attached to Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. They were worthy to render service to the Lord and his pure devotees. Because Vidura was one of the descendants of that family, naturally he engaged in spreading wide the ever new glories of the Lord. Maitreya felt happy to have such a glorious company as Vidura. He considered the company of Vidura most desirable, because such association can accelerate one's dormant propensities for devotional service.
Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshuh Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీ గురోః శ్రీయుత పద కమలం శ్రీ గురున్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీ రూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణ లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణ పృష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే
నిర్విశేషాశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్విషే నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ శ్రీరాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. The great sage Maitreya Muni said to Vidura, "The royal dynasty of King Puru is worthy to serve the pure devotees because all the descendants of that family are devoted to the personality of Godhead. You are also born in that family, and it is wonderful that because of your attempt, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are becoming newer and newer at every moment." Pade pade nutanayasya vikshnam. So we are beginning a new chapter today, chapter 8 of the third canto, entitled The Manifestation of Brahma from Vishnu. So Maitreya is telling Vidura, Pade Pade Nutanayasya Vikshnam. Abhikshna means always. Pade pade means at every step. Nutanayasi. Nutanayasi means becoming newer and newer. So these words are used in many places in the Srimad Bhagavatam. How the things related to Krishna are always ever fresh. They never become stale, like it happens with material objects. In this material world, we all have experience. Everything appears very attractive in the beginning, but then it loses its freshness subsequently, isn't it? Like somebody, you know, even one place they served me this dudhi halwa, you know. So it was hot. It was served hot, I put in the mouth, it was delicious. I asked for more. But then I observed it was a little stale at the end. So they said, "Oh, it is kept in fridge for 3 days. And we just heated it and gave you." So in the material world, nothing remains fresh. You just keep it, it becomes stale. Although you may heat it for some time, it may appear attractive as soon as you put it in the mouth. But then subsequently you can realize it is a old stock. Old stuff. So, it's not only the things. Our attraction for the things. One thing is that the thing also deteriorates. But our attraction for the thing also deteriorates. For example, somebody gives you some new gift. Gift of a bike or a computer or a mobile. When it is new, fresh, it is very attractive. But you keep using it for some time, it also gets old, and your attraction for it or your hankering for it goes off. Then you look for something else new. It's not that the hankering becomes finished like a detached man, it's not like that. Hankering for that object goes, but another hankering comes up. That hankering will not leave the conditioned souls unless they take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Like Krishna says, you know, pralayantam upashritaha kamo apabhoga parama etavat iti nishchitaha. In the 16th chapter, Krishna is saying, the hankerings, that will not leave the living entity. Although the living entity may get bored with one object, he will want to try the second one and the third one and fourth one and run in a mad race for looking for happiness and enjoyment. He will never be able to give up that hankering. But no object has the ability to satisfy us for a long time. Although some objects may satisfy for a little period of time, but material objects means happiness is short-lived. Why? Because matter is dark, spirit is light. And spirit is not only light, spirit is light also. Light. That light also. Spirit is very light. Prabhupada is saying, like a child when it is alive, a father may escort the child by just, you know, giving his small finger. And child may catch it. And the father can walk, child will walk with him. Because there is spirit in the body of the child. If the child is dead, the child becomes heavy, isn't it? The body becomes heavy. And even when you lift a dead object, you will see how heavy it is. People carry the dead body, as you have seen Ram Naam Satya Hai. Then in between they will change their shoulders. Because it becomes heavy. Yeah, dead body is very heavy. But when spirit is present in that body, it becomes very light. Yeah. So spirit is light. And matter is heavy. Similarly, spirit is also light. Light means prakash. And matter is dark. And spirit is everlasting. And the manifestations of matter is temporary. This world. The manifestations keeps changing. From childhood to boyhood to youth to old age. And it keeps changing. And it keeps deteriorating also. Gradually there is old age and dwindling and decaying. And no attraction at all. The attraction lives only for the glitter and glamour. Stays only for a short while. In this world. Actually it requires some buddhi, intelligence to understand this. And wake up from the dream of material attachment, material attractions. Of course, people wake up from one platform and go to another platform. Just like a man sleeping on one side, he turns around and sleeps on the other side. Similarly, people go from one dream to another dream. It means from one material pleasure to another material pleasure in this world. So, millions of objects are kept in this world, but none of them is capable of satisfying the needs of the soul. Just like that saying, water, water everywhere, not a drop to drink. Like the ocean water. So, if a person is intelligent, is called as a viveka, viveki. So, then such an intelligent person can wake up. Viveka yukta. Then he studies the scriptures and understands what will give me real happiness. Even speculation, as he says here, on Brahman and Paramatma, that is also something which may, you know, give up, which may help a person rise above hankering, na shochati, na kangshati. But it is not an eternal position. Going to Brahman, aruhya kritsrena parampadam tataha patanti yado, even they fall back again. So Prabhupada calls it as last snare of Maya, the desire of the soul to want to become God. That's why clearly Prabhupada mentions the purport. The Puru dynasty, kings and their descendants, they were all great devotees of the Lord. And they were always worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord, always. So, if a living entity is fortunate, he can come to this conclusion, what is mentioned here. Pade pade nutana yasya bhikshnam. Krishna's lotus feet are ever fresh. You see the queens of Dwaraka, it is said, they are very, very great devotees who were given that good fortune of being Krishna's wives. Actually, the impersonalists, they want to merge in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti and attain Shanti, which they consider as the highest, and they don't know anything beyond that. But what great is that position where one is working for one's own Shanti without any relationship with God. You see, there is no endeavor for pleasing God. My shanti, my peace of mind. And what about God's happiness? That I don't know. They don't care about God's happiness or God's pleasure. Their own happiness. That is why Rupa Goswami says, bhukti and mukti, these two tendencies are very dangerous for a sadhaka. And he says, the bhukti tendency comes as selfishness, to enjoy. And the mukti tendency comes out as laziness, to render service to Krishna. So, both these tendencies have to be given up. If you are lazy to make spiritual endeavors in the name of being a vairagi, that is actually mukti tendency. And bhukti tendency means working very hard for my own sense gratification. That is bhukti tendency. Both have to be given up. Because both of them are not oriented towards pleasing Krishna. Pleasing Krishna means, no matter what, how hard I may have to work, I will work if it will please Krishna. And when I am told to stop, I will stop. Whatever I am told to do, only I will do. So, that's one main difference between devotee and impersonalist. Impersonalist doesn't care about Krishna's pleasure at all. Yes, devotee means is focused on pleasing Krishna. And for such a devotee, Krishna gives the elevated position of serving him as a wife in Dwaraka, or serving him as a lover, like the gopis of Vrindavan, serving as a friend, serving as a mother or father, you see. Such intimate positions Krishna gives. And he also becomes controlled by their love. So the queens of Dwaraka, they were all endowed with very beautiful bodies. They are the spiritual beauties, unsurpassable beauty. Although they were very beautifully decorated with saris and jewelry and necklaces and ornaments, they had beautified themselves to charm Krishna's heart. It is said, Krishna behaved with them as if he was like a henpecked husband. He was only, every queen was thinking, Krishna is only in my own place, my own palace. And all the other queens, Krishna has left them and practically staying here for months. Probably all the other queens must be weeping. They thought like that. And Krishna gives the same feeling to every queen of being special. Because generally, a wife or a lover would like to be paid attention, exclusive attention. And Krishna gave that exclusive attention to every one of them, giving them the satisfaction of being only with them. And it is said there that although the wives were rendering service to Krishna, when Krishna would return from the palace, he would expand into 16,108 forms. And each of the palace he would enter. When he would come, they would wash his lotus feet, they would put a garland for him, they would give some pan to put in the mouth, chew in the mouth, they would comb his hair, they would apply sandalwood pulp on his body for the hot summer. They would perform arati for him, and they would personally fan him, although there were millions of servants in their palace. And they would feed him nice delicious prasad with their own hands. And they would watch how Krishna very gladly is accepting all these things. And their hearts were very deeply satisfied. But although they would do these activities on an everyday basis, every day it was fresh for them. It was never stale. Actually, this is very amazing. Generally, when a new devotee comes from some other temple here, everyone is very curious. Who is the devotee? You heard about him. Now, let us go and hear the lecture. Let us associate, let us ask. There is a very great kind of, what do you call it? Some kind of excitement in that, isn't it? And then after you know a person for a few times, 3, 4, 5, 6 times you have heard or you have seen, then that great attraction goes off. Or, when we are living with the same devotees, one of the reasons for this is this. When you live with some devotees, you know in and out of the devotees. They are all the natures. The good side, bad side, everything. So with the total understanding you are hearing from a devotee. So certainly you have perceptions about the devotee. Whereas when somebody newly comes, what happens? We only know one side, how they behave with us or when they come here. Because we have no information about the other side of that personality. Is it not true? Yeah, there is very great excitement, attraction. Huh? Like a new object. When you get a new object in this world, there is attraction. Once here, Kaunteya Prabhu had come here. He gave a Bhagavatam class. At the end of which, everybody was excited. I went and told him, Prabhuji, this is the best class I have heard ever. Bhagavatam class, I said. And he said, that's what all people tell me when they first hear my class. He said, after they hear for some time, you know. Actually, if I stay with you for 1 week, you will have a problem with me. Said, because he said, that is material world. And then he said, in spiritual world, it's very amazing that those who are rendering service to Krishna, they get ever newer and newer mellows. Like the Lakshmis are sweeping the floor in Vaikuntha because they are eager to please Lord Narayan. Yeah, they never get tired with Lord Narayan. They never say, hey, how many times we have seen you? Every morning we see you in the same form. How long we have to live in the Vaikuntha? When will you help us to get Shanti, Shanti, Shanti? No. Not only they remain in Vaikuntha, they want to go on serving more and more. Indefinitely. Yeah. How is it that Lord Narayana is so intimate with all his queens, surrounded by all his queens, but they never get bored with him? That is what he said. Pade, pade, nutanayasya bhikshnam. You see? Because at every step, the Leela Shakti arranges newer and newer varieties of situations by which the Lord's wonderful qualities come out. Krishna is called as Adbhuta Karmana. Adbhuta Karma means he performs very amazing activities which nobody can predict. For example, in Vrindavan always there was a rumor that this child Krishna, kills big demons. But many of them didn't believe it. They thought that, children are telling lies and they're joking. Just like you all know, when the Dalakuru Manigrihi came out of the tree, when the trees broke down, then there were some children around, gopas. When the parents heard the huge sound and everybody came running out of the houses to see the sight. And then they saw the two trees fallen on the ground and they saw the baby Krishna crawling along with the grinding mortar. Then they asked the children, hey, did you see how did these two big trees break? How can they break on their own? Somebody must have cut it. They said, oh, we saw with our eyes. Krishna went between the two trees and the grinding mortar broke the trees. And out came two great devatas who vanished from our sights afterwards. And the parents and other relatives, other gopas and gopis, they became angry on the children. They said, what are you saying? You foolish children, move aside. Let us find out. Some ghost must have come. They were saying. So they didn't believe the children. Because many times in Vrindavan, Krishna would do some miracle, which was only observed by a few. And they will go around telling everybody what Krishna did. But others wouldn't know. But like for example, the Putana, when Krishna killed, have you ever seen somebody killing somebody with two lips? And two tender lips, small lips. And he killed such a huge demoness. So, people heard about it, but they didn't believe it fully. But then there was one pastime where everyone got to see Krishna's miracle with their own eyes. Which was the pastime? Govardhan Leela. When Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill, all 7 days and 7 nights, everybody watched and everybody was wondering, how is Krishna able to lift such a huge hill like lifting a thermocol? So easily he's lifting it. But they were all very hesitant to come inside. And then Krishna told Vijayavasi, see, for your cows I have got fresh green grass in the periphery, all around. And right around the rock on which I am standing, there are beautiful ratnas. There are so many beautiful diamonds and there is a beautiful depression inside the Govardhan, below the Govardhan hill. There's a palace, jeweled palace. You can come and stay here peacefully. There's nothing to fear. Come in, he told them. So they all came. And then some of the coward men who were speaking among themselves, maybe, the boy Krishna must have, been lifting for a long time and he may feel pain. Maybe let us offer some help. So when they were all putting the stake to offer help, Krishna wanted to show them that everything is resting only in Krishna. Everybody is dependent on Krishna. So Krishna, just 2-3 inches, he left the Govardhan hill and all the sticks fell off in different directions. And then when all the other covered boys and girls and gopas and gopis, they were watching, they were all shaking. They felt as if it's going to be, fall and make them chutney. Of course, they didn't fall. So Krishna, when he did this pastime, after it was over, again there was a big talk in Vrindavan. There was a meeting of Nanda and Upananda and all the other brothers, Nanda brothers, many other covered men also. How Krishna could perform this leela? They were all talking. Maybe Krishna is some demigod. Maybe Krishna is God. Maybe he has some special powers. So talk went on and on. So Nanda Baba was telling, I cannot believe in what you people are saying. You may call him demigod, you may call him God, but I have seen with my own eyes. Lord Narayana is Satya Sankalpa, always speaks the truth. But my son, I have never heard him speaking truth any time. He always tells lies. You all know he steals butter from the houses of gopis and says he never stole butter. He eats mud and he says he never ate mud. He always tells lies. How can Lord Narayana ever tell lies? I cannot believe. He said the Supreme Lord is supposed to be very peaceful always. And this fellow, not only is he not peaceful, he makes others also lose peace. How can he be God? Like that he asked many questions to them. Like God is called as Abhaya, Abhaya Pradhan, one who gives freedom from fear. Like you see, always God keeps his hand like this, which means Abhaya Mudra. I will make you free from fear, don't worry. Or just like our Lord Narayana is showing his lotus feet. You know, if you take shelter of my lotus feet, you will have freedom from fear. That's the meaning. If you want this, you have to do this. That's the meaning. Take shelter of my lotus feet, then freedom from fear. Like that he is saying. But this fellow is always fearful. You see, when there is a dashing thunderbolt in the sky and lightning in the sky, he goes dashing to his mother. He submerges his face into his mother's sari, catching both her feet, crying, screaming in great fear. What kind of God is this God who is himself fearful? How is he going to make others fearless? He asked. And God means he should be sense controlled, isn't it? In fact, he's a master of his senses. But this fellow all the time keeps eating something or the other. Not only in our home, what we are giving is not enough. He goes to different homes to eat. So in this way, Nanda Baba was speaking and the serious meeting turned into a laughing meeting and everybody laughed, catching their stomach and bellies, they lied down. And the meeting ended like this. And then Nanda Baba said, but I heard one thing from Garga Rishi when the naming ceremony was done, that the Supreme Lord Narayana, he is appearing in my house as Krishna. So he said, maybe Krishna is Narayana or maybe he is some demigod. That too only, maybe only. The whole meeting ended with a maybe. This is called Krishna's Adbhuta Karma. Adbhuta Karma means his activities are all marvelous. That they become subject matter for his devotees to talk days and months and years together. And by the time they are talking about it, one more new activity will come. And in one shot he will hit 2 mangoes or dozen mangoes, which means when he does one thing, he does many other things also. Just like, for example, while killing Kala Yavana, he also blessed Muchukunda. You see? One name of Krishna is Hata Ari Gati Dayaka, Rupa Goswami says. Hata means what? Killing. Ari means enemy. Murari. What is Murari? Mura means demon Mura. Ari means enemy. Killer of the demon Mura. So Hata Ari means Krishna's activities are so pure and auspicious that even his killing is also auspicious. When he kills someone, Hata Ari Gati Dayaka means Gati means ultimate destination. He killed Putana and Putana got the spiritual world. Is it not miraculous? You see, in this world, when a person commits crime of murdering somebody, the person murdered also suffers. And the person who killed, he also gets sinful activity. Sinful reaction he gets. And is punished by the police, or he is also hung by the police. So he becomes putrefied. And the person who gets killed, he suffers also. Both the people. Whereas when Krishna kills someone, that person goes back to Godhead. Like Putana went back. And Krishna is untouched by sin. Because he says, Namam karmani limpanti, name karma phale spruha, iti mam yobi janati karma birna sabadhyate. Not only I am free from all sin, Arjuna, anybody who knows that I am above any sin, I cannot be touched by sin. Anybody knows this fact, even they also become free from all sin, he says. Karma birna sabadhyate, even they will not be touched by karma. One who knows this fact. And what to speak of the person Krishna? He says, Namam karma nilimpandi. Karma can never touch me, he says. Because he is spiritual, completely spiritual. And he has no ill motives like anyone else. So, if his killing can be so auspicious, what to speak of his embrace? What to speak of his blessing? And what to speak of his devotees whom constantly Krishna is remembering and blessing? What destination they will get? Needless to say. So, even his killing activity is so wonderful. It's so wonderful. Lord Ram killed Vali from behind the bush. So, Vali asked Ram, when he saw the name Rama in the arrow, he said, oh, this is the arrow of the Raghukula Nayak, Ram. Ram is the epitome of all character and purity. How can he hit me like this from behind a bush? And then Lord Ram came in the front. He asked, oh Ram, fie upon you, shame upon you. How can you do such a thing to me? And then Vali said, we are just animals. We don't know any great rules and regulations of human beings. How can you hit me like this? And then Lord Ram said, if you claim to be an animal, then animals can be killed from behind a bush because the Kshatriyas are allowed to hunt. Like I am a Kshatriya and I am supposed to kill animals in the forest. So if you claim to be an animal, my killing you was appropriate. On the other hand, if you observe yourself, you are not ordinary monkey. Because you are speaking about what is right and wrong. No monkey can argue like that. Isn't it? Because you are able to speak these things. And because you are speaking, you know the laws of Manu. You have abducted the wife of Sugriva. So anyone in the Bharata's dynasty is going on now. He said, King Bharata is ruling now the whole world. And on behalf of Bharat, it is my duty to curb all the evil elements, especially if somebody mishandles someone else's wife, it's my duty to kill him. So I have killed you because you know dharma, but you didn't follow dharma, I killed you. And then do you know what Vali said? Vali said, Ram, you can never be at fault. Any activity you do, it is all auspicious. I am applying mundane laws on someone great like you. And he said, I am very happy that I have been killed by you. I am sure I will be purified of all my sinful reactions. My only last desire is that here is my son Angada. Please do not kill him, you know. Please bless him, he requested. So, when a Rama Bhan touches somebody's body, immediately it purifies one of all the sinful reactions. And then it goes to the holy rivers, gets cleaned up, and then again goes back into the quiver of Ram. So, why Lord kills somebody? Because just like if somebody has a boil which is becoming bigger and bigger and bigger, then the doctor gets the knife. Isn't it? It becomes so ripe that now no more medicine for it. The only way is what? You have to remove the pus by cutting it off. Similarly, when one becomes ripe with sinful reaction, then Krishna personally comes, paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya cha dushkrita. He kills. But his killing is also so auspicious. Hatha arigati dayaka. He says, he can give the ultimate destination even when he kills. What to speak of if he blesses someone? In this way, the katha about Krishna is nutanayasya bhikshnam. Always it is nutanam. It's very fresh. And like for example, Sudama Brahmana receiving Krishna, or going to meet Krishna in Dwaraka. We all have heard it when we were school children. Then when I grew up, in our college days we heard it. After we became devotees, we heard it. But it always remains Nutane Abhikshanam. It's always fresh. But never gets stale. Every time you hear it, it is so thrilling. The reason is there for this. The reason is, Krishna's activities are all completely spiritual and it is on a pure platform of love. So, one will never get tired of hearing them. There is a beautiful story told by Sanatana Goswami. He said, once in Vrindavan, these two birds, Shuka and Sari, they were sitting on a tree, Kalpavriksha tree, and they were discussing with one another. So Shuka said, today is a very special day, he said. And Sari asked, why? In Vrindavan, every day is a special day. Is it today is special? Is it because Krishna is playing his flute in a special way? Or because Krishna is dressed in a very attractive way today? Why today is so special? He asked. So then Shuka said, because, you see, Krishna has been dancing very beautifully in his rasa dance. And when Krishna is dancing, seeing his beauty, all the gopis are dancing. The gopas are dancing. Then the monkeys are dancing. The birds are dancing. Peacocks are dancing. Then even the trees are waving back and forth and dancing. So everybody in Vrindavan is dancing by seeing Krishna dance. And seeing their joy, Krishna is also dancing more and more beautifully. And the bird said, you come with me, follow me, I will show you something very special. And the bird became upside down, hanging from the branch of the tree. And Shuka told Sari, look below. And then he showed on the ground. You know, Krishna had danced under the tree. You know, his front portion of his feet was pressing on the ground more firmly. And the back portion of the feet was lifted up, due to which the impression had come in that way. So Shuka bird asked, can you understand this? What is special about this food? Sari couldn't answer. So Shuka said, this means Krishna has put his foot very firmly on the ground and he is dancing to the tune of his devotees by pressing his foot against the ground like this. And the bird said, this Krishna's lotus feet is so wonderful. He said, it is compared in the scriptures to the pollen in a lotus. Krishna's lotus feet is like a pollen in a lotus. You know pollen? What is speciality of pollen? Sometimes pollen is taken by the wind and it goes and falls into another flower, another plant. Then the flower sprouts from that plant also. Similarly, when Krishna's lotus feet enter into the hearts of his devotees, then the beautiful lotus feet gets manifested in their heart also. Another lotus comes there in their heart. In this way, then when the very same devotees, after having awakened the Lord's lotus feet in their hearts, when they speak Krishna's glories, then whoever hears those glories with great love and faith, transcendental faith, then lotuses manifest in their hearts also. It's exactly like the transfer of pollen from one flower to another flower. Saying like this, the bird became raptured in ecstasy and tears came out of Shuka's and Sari's eyes and it filled the small lotus feet of Krishna on the ground. And one insect, some ant or some insect was moving by and it fell into that pool of tears of the birds. And immediately he got a 400 form on the spot. And he offered obeisances to Shuka and Sari and glorified them for giving the spiritual body and he flew back to Vaikuntha after that. So, what is so special about this? The tears produced by these two birds were out of pure love for Krishna. So, if anyone by hearing about Krishna, by chanting Krishna's holy names with great sincerity, awaken that love in their heart, then whatever messages they spread is also like the spiritual pollen, the saffron dust particles, which spread in the atmosphere. Anyone who comes in contact with it, they'll become freed from shoka, moha, bhaya. And bhakti will be awakened in their hearts. That is why The Shravanam and Kirtanam of Krishna's Katha is so important. Because without Shravanam and Kirtanam of Krishna Katha, there is no expansion of our movement. What is our movement all about? Our movement is all about Krishna's lotus feet. How to experience bliss by taking the shade of Krishna's lotus feet. That is what we are giving. Sometimes people get into the... like one devotee was telling me, somewhere in some city, some other group of people have come, some Ritviks have come, and all our time goes in our fight, you know, whether we will preach or they will preach. So these fights have no end only. I was telling this devotee, you forget about the fight. If they want, let them cut the city, half of the city, let them take and go. You know, in the rest of the city, you can preach. You just study Bhagavatam, relish Bhagavatam, speak Bhagavatam. And actually I said, there is no competitor for you in this world other than your own mind. Mind is the demon, non-devotee. The whole world is there of 6 billion population. Can anybody take it all away from you? You, first of all, you enjoy Krishna consciousness, relish Krishna consciousness. And then if you relish, people will come to you naturally. And they will also come. They will want to experience the same relish that you are getting. And just like, for example, if a tree has fruits, birds will come automatically. You know, you don't have to take a machine gun and run around. Hey, are you going to come to this tree or not? So, we have to study, we have to relish, appreciate, and we have to share. That is Nutanayas Yabhikshnam, which is ever fresh. Like I was telling you one verse in the last time I spoke. I loved that verse very much. He says, what is that beautiful verse? It says, Krishna's katha is always Tadeva ramyam ruchiram navam navam tadeva shashvan manaso mahotsavam tadeva shokarana vashoshanam dranam tadeva tado tamashloka gunanugiyate yashonugiyate. He's saying tadeva ramyam ruchiram navam navam. Navam navam means ever fresh. Ruchiram means very tasty. Ramyam means very beautiful. Krishna katha is beautiful, tasty and ever fresh. And material katha is ugly, boring and stale. You see? Tadeva ramyam ruchiram navam navam tadeva shashvan manaso mahotsavam. It's a maho utsavam. It's a great festival for the mind for all time to come. Once you awaken Krishna consciousness, how long will this festival go on? For all time to come. It's a never ending festival. Every day is a festival. Every moment is a festival for a devotee who has learned the art of tasting Krishna. And then he says, Tadeva shokaranava shoshanam vrinam. All the people of this world can dry up the ocean of tears produced from the lamentation in this material world by hearing this katha. And then he says, Tadottama shloka. Uttama shloka is Krishna, glorified by choice poetry. Yashavanu giyate, by doing kirtan of Krishna. See, kirtan comes from the word kirti. Kirti means glories. Kirtan means glorifying the glory. Now you may ask, Prabhuji, it's already kirti, then why should we glorify? Already it is fame. Yes, glorify the fame of Krishna more and more. So that fame will be understood and relished and appreciated by all souls all around. That's why Vedavyas told Narada Muni that you have not completely glorified the fame of Krishna till now in all your literatures. Now you do that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Completely glorify, he said. All our lamentation will be finished. All of us in our lives, we face so many problems. But the problems will dry up if we focus on this. Here is the key. And here, Prabhupada at the end writes another important point. Maitreya felt happy to have such a glorious company as Vidura. He considered the company of Vidura most desirable because such association can accelerate one's dormant propensities for devotional service. You see, Sometimes we don't have sufficient impetus for devotional service. Sometimes. It's in a very tender stage. Like morning we chant. Sometimes after 3, 4, 5 rounds people get tired. Is it not true? Or sometimes we feel sleepy or we feel mind wandering problem, everybody knows. But how can we increase our energy level by which we can go on and on and on chanting without getting tired? Without looking out or without wanting to chat with somebody outside. See, sometimes a person thinks if I walk and chant I will, you know, probably do better. And then you go out and you start talking to somebody. And both are having beat bag in the hand, talking, going, coming. Walking, talking. Japa talks, japa walks. Isn't it? So, actually, the mind has a nature. Mind is like a blotting paper. If you put ink pen on it, it just expands. Similarly, if you sit at one place and try to chant the holy name with attention, the concentration will increase more and more. So we should not let the mind wander here and there. No distractions. So, sometimes we find the energy level low in devotional life. Sometimes devotional life becomes stale or difficult to perform. So what should be done? Devotees are like energy centers. They emit devotional energy, Krishna Shakti. So we have to find out people whose hankering for Krishna is very great. That Krishna Lalasa, you say, Uttama Shloka Lalasa, Krishna Lalasa. Those people who have increased their hankering for Krishna, by associating with them, we can increase our greed for Krishna also. That is actually the secret given in the scripture. Here Maitreya is appreciating Vidura that your company is glorious because in the company of such devotees, one can accelerate one's dormant propensities for devotional service. That's the meaning of relationships. What is loving relationship? Loving relationship is all about this. If you associate with another devotee, you return very joyfully. You went to the devotee with a heart full of lamentation. Now you are returning with a beaming smile on your face. Because he or she has filled your heart with Krishna. And you return back very joyfully. That is a devotee. That experience a devotee should give. That's the meaning of association. Like you see, one distant relative of Raghunath Das Goswami was one devotee called Kalidas. So this Kalidas, he knew this art of how to associate with devotees and take advantage of the association. He would roam all around Bengal meeting different devotees. He would go. Actually, Kalidas was not an ordinary person. He was born in a rich family, aristocratic family, and also in a unchakul, in a very elevated family. Although he was very old in age, still he would travel from place to place, meet Vaishnavas. He would be searching, where is the Vaishnava who is having great love for Krishna? He would go to them, associate with them, stay with them for some time, ask for their remnants, eat from them. And then, so he always made a plan how I can advance in my spiritual life by associating with Vaishnavas. At one time, he went to a particular village where a Bangi devotee was living. There was one devotee, his name was Jadu Thakur, who was a Bangi, sweeper, street sweeper by profession. But he was a very great Vaishnava, great devotee. You see, a devotee can be born in any family, lower family or higher family. But if they have awakened love for Krishna, their association is sought even by Shiva and Brahma. Great demigods seek association of Vaishnavas. So, this street sweeper devotee, Jadu Thakur and his wife, they were great Vaishnava and Vaishnavis, both of them. So, Kalidas went to that village to meet them. So, as soon as he entered their house, like an uninvited guest, suddenly entered and offered his obeisances to them. They also returned the obeisances immediately. They said, "Oh, Kalidas, You come from a great Brahmana family, elevated family. We are very low class people. It is amazing that you have come to our house. And we want to offer you something, but we are unfit to offer you anything because we are untouchables, unseeable. But I can arrange for another Brahmana. I can give charity of some bhoga to a brahmana who will cook, offer it to Krishna and he will give you. Then maybe then you can accept something from our house. You have come all the way to our house, he said. And Kalidas said, I have come to give you something. I am not going to ask you for anything. Here, and then he had brought some mangoes very nicely wrapped in a banana leaf and banana bark. So he said he came to give. But then Jaha Thakur said, yes, you brought something nice for us, thank you, but we also want to give you something. And Kalidas said, really? If you really want to give me something, he fell at his feet and said, put your lotus feet on my head. By getting the saffron dust particles from your feet on my head, I'll become purified. And Jaha Thakur said, how can you say such a thing? You are such a high-class family man and I am such a low-class. Even to say such a thing is not befitting. And then Kalidas quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam. What Prahlad Maharaj said. Many verses he quoted. One of the verses is this one. What is that verse? He says,
Pipradvishadgunayutat aravindanabha padaravinda vimukhachvapachambarishtam manyetadarpita manovachane hitartha pranam punati sakulam natuburi manah.
He says, even if somebody is born in a Brahmana family with a dozen good qualities of a Brahmana, but he is not a devotee of the Supreme Lord. His being a Brahmana doesn't make him any great. On the other hand, if a person is born in a dog eater's family, but he is chanting Krishna's names and is a lover of Krishna, then all his kula members become purified by his being a devotee. And he said, Prahlada Maharaj said, such a Shapacha Vaishnava is far superior than even a Brahmana, he said. So, when Jaja Thakur heard this wonderful prayers from Bhagavatam, he said, wow, wow, so wonderful. Your prayers are very sweet and their meaning so sublime. This Bhagavatam verses you are reciting are so nice. Only thing is they are not meant for me. He said, because I am not a Vaishnava. He said, I am a low class man. I don't have even an iota of devotion to Krishna. So, Jaja Thakur with tears in his eyes spoke like this. And Kalidas thought to himself, that is why I need the association of this personality. Because his heart is full of devotion to Krishna. Yet his disposition is so humble. He doesn't want anything. He is not attracted to anything of this world except Krishna. But I need his mercy. Then, sometimes Kalidas would openly tell a Brahmana or a Vaishnava, please here are the mangoes, eat and give me your remnants. So by eating your remnants I can also advance. And they would give also. Sometimes. Some people gave. Occasionally. But most people won't give. Most people, they would say, how can you eat my remnants? I will go to hell. Just like Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami said, you know, if somebody takes my name, they will lose all piety. Like that he said. Similarly, most Vaishnavas will not give. So, he knew that Jaja Thakur is very innocent and very pure-hearted and very shy Vaishnava. He will not give. So, he gave him the mangoes and then when he was about to leave, Jaja Thakur said, since you have come to my house, I will also come with you and drop you back. So, he went with him. They both went by foot. And then Kalidas would tell him, now you go back to your home, you have come a long way. He will go to the frontier of the village to leave him. And when he left, Kalidas, and he returned back. Kalidas turned and he kept watching Jaja Thakur walking back. And in his heart, he had such appreciation for Jaja Thakur and his wife's devotion. He thought, what an elevated Vaishnava he is. Surely I need his mercy. So after he went back, what did Kalidas do? He fell on the ground, very carefully searching for the footsteps of Jaja Thakur. And wherever Jaja Thakur put his foot, he picked up some sand and rubbed on his head, rubbed all over his body. Because Prahlad Maharaj says, in that verse, he told his father, this famous verse, Mahiyasam padarajo abhishekam nishkinchananam nabrinita yavat. My dear father, you will never become happy in life unless you smear your body Raja Abhishekam, he said. You should do Abhishek of, just like you do Abhishek with water, like that we should do Abhishek of the lotus feet dust of the devotees. So he did that all over his body. And there were tears streaming from his eyes constantly. Because on one hand, he was thinking of the glorious Vaishnava qualities of Jaju Thakur. And on the other hand, he was feeling very fortunate to touch the dust of his feet and apply on his body. Because I was telling you some time ago about the nature of Krishna's lotus feet dust. But those who fortunately get the dust particles from Krishna's feet, the pollen from Krishna's feet, their hearts also becomes blossomed in Krishna consciousness. And their dust of that feet also assumes the same quality, like the lotus feet of, dust of the lotus feet of Krishna. Then such devotees are also very rare and very valuable. Like they become nivritta guna vritti. They have zero attraction for material enjoyment. And their hearts have a great premavesh, hankering to love and serve Krishna. Such devotees are very rare. And that verse says, you know, muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prashantatma kotishvapi mahamune. Amongst the muktas and siddhas, out of crores of them, one is a devotee. So, Kalidas slowly walked back towards Jaru Thakur's house. In the meantime, Jaru Thakur and his wife, they offered the bhoga to Lord, and Jaru Thakur's wife placed all of them, all the mangoes in a plate, and she served her husband. So, both husband and wife, they ate with great joy, and she went to dispose the seeds and the peel of the mango, the skin of the mango, in the backyard of the house, in a hole, in a ditch where they put it. She went and disposed it in a hole. And Kalidas, from behind the house, he was hiding behind a bush, waiting for her to leave the mangoes, mango seeds and go away. After she went inside the house, Kalidas came out. So when he looked at those mango seeds and the mango skin, again he remembered the wonderful qualities of this family. So he harbored a greed for attaining Krishna Prem. And then he picked up the mango seeds and he licked them, and he took the mango skin, and he, whatever was left, he ate them up, again with tears of joy. See, this is the method of consuming Mahamaha Prasad that Kalidas is teaching us. Not that, you know, some sannyasi comes and you give him a big plate of prasad and everyone is seeing what all items are left. I would like to choose gulab jamun, somebody would like to choose rasagulla. Like, you know, there was one disciple of Prabhupada, you know, who would be the last one to take the Mahamaha from Prabhupada's plate always. And the last Mahaprasad that nobody would touch was salt. So this is what he would take, only that salt. You know, he would take that salt. So most devotees go for more opulent items, and as far as possible, whatever they can grab. That is not done in the mood of what Kalidas did. Mahamahaprasad is not just something, the faith is also involved. Faith in the devotee, faith in Krishna, faith in the devotional service, and faith in this Tien Mahabal, dust from the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, and the water that has washed the feet of a Vaishnava, and the remnants left behind by a Vaishnava. You see, in Brahmana families, if you are eating in a plate, before eating plate, you offer the ablutions of water, isn't it? And then you eat the plate. The rules are so strict. While eating the plate, you should never use this hand. Like sometimes, you know, I remember when we would be eating, sometimes you want to take out something, you put your hand, immediately they will say, go and wash your hand and come. You know, if you put your hand, you are not, once Bhaktikamas Maharaj came here to Pune, isn't it? Somebody put his hand to the mouth, he said, hey, get up. He got shocked. Maharaj said, go and wash your hand and come. Then he washed his hand and came. Maharaj said, that was muchi. Shuchi, opposite is muchi. Muchi means unclean. You should not put your hand. Do you know why I told you this? I don't know, Maharaj said. Prabhupada told me. So Prabhupada told me, I am telling you in parampara. So we have to be clean. So When you are eating in a plate, nowadays people sometimes four people eat in one plate only. That is considered muchi, less than a shudra. It's a very bad habit. Some people don't know. So one should not eat in a common plate, one should eat in one's own plate, and one should not touch anything else, touch the hand other than this. There's a method of taking and eating also properly. But if one becomes a Vaishnava, then one can accept the remnants from the plate of another devotee, one who is a very advanced devotee. Although his plate is jhuta, that jhuta plate has actually got the prasadam is divine, it is transcendental. It has the potency to give us Krishna prem if we take the remnants with great faith and we put it in our mouth. That faith is very important. Then only one can get that. Like Mahaprabhu, with his own divine palms, he picked up some prasad and fed it into the mouth of Narayani, the small girl. The next moment, Narayani burst into tears and crying Krishna's names, you see. Because that prasadam was invested with that potency of Krishna prem, eaten by Mahaprabhu. So, the same Kalidas, he once went to Jagannath Puri. And Jagannath Puri, there are 22 steps in the Simhadwaram. If you see, Mahaprabhu climbed up. As soon as he goes to the last step, there would be a hole there, a place for washing feet. So Mahaprabhu would wash his feet and then he would go inside. And Mahaprabhu, because he was epitome of humility, you know, nobody could dare to drink even a drop of that water. He would not let anybody do that. Occasionally, some very advanced Vaishnavas who are very intimate associates of Mahaprabhu would get some few droplets. They may get, that also not very sure. But one of the days when Mahaprabhu was climbing up the steps, Kalidas, you know, came behind him. He was also climbing the steps. And Mahaprabhu washed his feet. And Kalidas was bowing down right below Mahaprabhu's feet. And when the water washed and came down, Kalidas captured it and he drank it. And all the Vaishnavas were shell-shocked. They are looking at each other. Mahaprabhu is going to shout at him now, they thought. Because Mahaprabhu would become angry if somebody would touch his feet. You remember in the Gundicha Mandir, one Vaishnava tried to drink water of Mahaprabhu's feet and Mahaprabhu called Swarup Damodar and said, "Hey Swarup, look at this Bengali Vaishnava who is taking water from my feet." And Swarup Damodar caught him by the neck and threw him out. Of the Gundicha Mandir. So, everybody knew Mahaprabhu's wrath. Mahaprabhu would become angry. Nobody could dare to see him. And here was Kalidas. He drank. And then Mahaprabhu also saw it. Still Mahaprabhu washed second time. And third time. Three times Kalidas drank it. And fourth time he was still waiting. Hoping to get more. Mahaprabhu said, "Kalidas, get up. What more can I give you? You have taken everything I have." "Get up now," he said. Because Mahaprabhu, you know, he knew the faith in the heart of Kalidas. So he did not scold him. He did not chastise him. So he gave that mercy. On the same day, when Mahaprabhu was eating prasad, lunch prasad, Kalidas was peeping through the window. And Mahaprabhu saw. He told the devotees, "Kalidas is roaming around. I think he wants my Mahaprasad." So Mahaprabhu ate only little. And most part of his plate, he said, "Go and give it to Kalidas." Personally, he said. So, in this way, Kalidas acquired great Krishna prem by accumulating it from great, many, many great Vaishnavas, ultimately including Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You see? So, these three appear to be some external physical objects. But they are invested with potency to awaken our love for, dormant love for Krishna. And besides these three, how else can one awaken Krishna prem? You read that song. Shuddha bhakata charana renu bhajana anukula bhakta seva parama siddhi premalatikara mula. So Kalidas would meet a devotee, respect a devotee, honor a devotee, worship a devotee. And by doing these things, he would win the heart of the devotee and acquire the blessings in his life. And then he would awaken love for Krishna in his heart also. In the same manner, many things are given in the song. You can water Tulasi. You can visit the holy places along with devotees and hear the katha from the devotees. And by hearing the katha from Premi Bhaktas, Premi Bhaktas are those whose hearts are filled with love for Krishna and no love for, no attraction for matter. And by hearing from them, they have to speak with faith and the audience has to hear with faith. And then Krishna will manifest in between them. And in this way, association with sincere souls, sincere Vaishnavas is the greatest benediction. You know, when Sanatana Goswami was living in Vrindavan, it is said, you know, he would go village to village in Vrindavan. A Vaishnava is very beautiful because of always carrying Krishna in his heart. Like you see, Devaki, when Krishna was in Devaki's womb, Devaki appeared very beautiful in the jail of Kamsa. So when all the demigods came to offer prayers, the Garbhastuti, that time Devaki appeared very charming and beautiful because Krishna was beautifying her body. Similarly, a devotee carries Krishna. That's how Prabhupada also appeared beautiful. Somebody may say, he's a 70-year-old man, how can you call him beautiful? Generally, after 60, 70, 80, nobody glorifies anybody's beauty. But when Prabhupada smiles, people click photo and keep it in their laptops and computers. They keep watching Prabhupada's beauty. Because that beauty arises from the joy of associating with Krishna. So, Sanatana Goswami was also very beautiful. So that all the Vrajavasis loved him very dearly. He would go from village to village. When he would reach a particular village, you know, the Vrajavasis would come. They would ask him. Some of them, the older Vrajavasis considered him like their own son. They would tell him, "Oh son, you know, where have you been all this time so long? You have left us alone here. And now you are coming. Please come." And they would make him sit under a tree on a platform. And then they would ask the younger men who considered Sanatana Goswami like their own brothers, "Go and fetch some milk." And they would tell someone else, "Go and fetch some peda and other sweetmeats, so we can offer Sanatana." So the men would run here and there and bring a lot of items, yogurt and ghee and sweetmeats and everything. You know, the older men on one hand considered Sanatana to be like their own son. On the other hand, they knew he is their guru. So the older men, out of love for him, got engaged in service so much that they forgot to offer him obeisances. And the younger men, they would come and put their head on Sanatana's feet. And Sanatana would feel so shy. And he would never want anyone to put their head on his lotus feet. But then, their affectionate dealings were so intense that Sanatana couldn't say no to them. When they put their head on the lotus feet of Sanatana. In this way, they would all be serving him and he would be talking to them. He would ask them, "How many cows you have? How many cows you have give you milk? Or how many sons and daughters you have?" And he would ask them, "Is your daughter married?" Or he would ask them about, "How was the yield in your field this year?" Because it is said in Vrindavan, all the prajalpa that Vrajavasis do is also centered around Krishna only. That is why there is no prajalpa in Vrindavan. Anybody talks about anything in Vrindavan, they cannot talk without remembering Radhe and Krishna. Always. Because Radha and Krishna are their life and soul for them. So in this way, Sanatana would stay for some time and we would be leaving. They all would be crying. So it is said when he would enter a village, people would cry to see him after a long time. When he would have exchanges with them, they would cry tears seeing Sanatana's devotion and love for Krishna. And when he would be leaving, many of them, there is one place called Baitan, if you go today also, where the people refused to leave him to go. They forced him with their love to make him stay for 2-3 more days. Sanatana stayed there. And then he left after that. So, Sanatana Goswami was so loved. He was such a dear Vaishnava of not only Vrajavasis. Even Lord Shiva, who was living in Chakleshwar Mahadev. At one time, Sanatana made a plan to leave Chakleshwar Mahadev, correct? And go to another place because of mosquito trouble there. He could not ride peacefully. Then when Mahadev came to know, he feared separation from Sanatana. So much so that he took the form of a Brahmana and he came to Sanatana and said, "Is it true? Somebody told me that you are leaving tomorrow am I leaving tonight? He said, yes, there are too many mosquitoes here. So I am going to leave for another place. And the Brahmana said, my request to you, please stay for one more day. And if mosquitoes remain here, then you may go away. And Sanatana was always touched by the affectionate dealings of devotees in Vrindavan. He couldn't refuse to the request. He agreed. And then Lord Shiva ordered the demigod in charge of mosquitoes that tell them to send them all away. Next day there were no mosquitoes there. And Sanatana continued to stay and Lord Shiva enjoyed his association. So, here he is saying here, you see, he considered the company of Vidura most desirable. Similarly, Lord Shiva considered Sanatana's association most desirable. Why? Because such association can accelerate one's dormant propensities for devotional service. Our association with any devotee or anybody should not increase our materialistic tendencies. It should not increase our blasphemy. It should not increase our bodily consciousness, dehatma buddhi. Our association with devotees actually should increase our remembrance of Krishna, pastimes of Krishna, glories of Krishna. Actually, we have to identify such devotees in our lives and associate with them closely. There are many devotees in our movement. We can get equals, we can get juniors, we can get seniors, different devotees. And we don't have to be friends with everybody. And it is not possible also. But anywhere you find somebody's heart is longing to surrender and serve Krishna and devotees, identify the devotees and associate with them very closely. Ask them questions. By hearing from them, by sharing your realizations with them and asking questions to them, like Vidura and Maitreya are doing here. And that most important thing is respect. Without respecting a devotee, we will never be able to want to hear from them. When we hear with great enthusiasm and eagerness and simplicity of heart, just like Shaunakadi Rishis were enthusiastic to hear from Suta Goswami, or Parikshit was enthusiastic to hear from Shukadeva Goswami. So, association is one of the prime factors that induces us to accelerate our devotional service, as he says here. In fact, by such association, our enthusiasm for chanting also will increase. You see, when our intelligence is riveted in Krishna's lotus feet, then the chanting of Hare Krishna will be very powerful. But if our intelligence is bahusha kahi anantascha, if it is going here, there, to too many things of this world, then how can we call out Krishna with love? That intensity and sincerity with which we can call out the holy name, like it is said, the Yajna Purush of Kali Yuga is who? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When we are chanting the holy name, the acharyas have given a beautiful example. They say, when you are chanting the holy name, you should visualize a Yajna Kund in which there is a big fire. In the middle of that fire, Lord Chaitanya is sitting and he is the Yajna Purush for this age. And he is asking you, give your ahuti here. And what is the ahuti you have to give? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Swaha. So you have to offer this Maha Mantra to the Ajna Purush, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when we are chanting, one mantra we should chant with attention that I am offering it to Lord Chaitanya. That consciousness is very important. And if while chanting my distraction happened, my mind went elsewhere, that means you took Swaha somewhere else. We didn't put in the fire. Instead of giving him, we are giving elsewhere. So we have to always remember that I am offering it to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he is telling, isn't it? You should chant the holy names. He himself is chanting and showing how to chant every day. So the chanting can be done with desperation and attention and absorption. When our intelligence becomes imbued with Krishna remembrance, that comes from healthy spiritual association with devotees. Krantraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much.